Dear friends in Christ, as usual, the first reading and the gospel have a theme in common so that we are invited to reflect on how the Old Testament looks forward to the new. While the second reading is usually chosen on a quite independent basis, and there may or may not be really a common theme linking all of the three readings. But today I think we can see, at least in a general way, there is a theme that comes through very clearly, and that's the nature of real or authentic love. What love is really all about. The second reading today, we heard from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. It's a very, very famous biblical passage about that. It's, I'm sure, the best known passage in all of St. Paul's letters in the New Testament. And as any priest will tell you, it's a favorite reading for weddings. Brides and grooms love this passage. It's all about real love. But actually, it's not just about love between husband and wife. It's much more general. It's about love in the biggest sense. And it's emphasizing the fact that real love is not just a feeling. It's not just something romantic. But it's about sacrificial, self-giving. And that's the kind of love, of course, that a married couple are going to need, the newlyweds, once the honeymoon is over and they get down to building a life together. It's worthwhile perhaps reflecting a little bit on just a few of the many points that St. Paul makes in this passage about love, like a little examination of conscience. So we're coming up close to Lent pretty soon. For instance, St. Paul says that real love is not quick-tempered, it's patient. Am I too quick to lose my cool and get mad at things? Maybe especially with my loved ones? If I fly off the handle with people? Another point that caught my attention is where St. Paul says, love doesn't brood over injury. Doesn't hold grudges, endures all things. Am I a forgiving person, or do I tend to hold grudges and remember bad things that people have done to me? The Lord wants us to forget that. One of the points that St. Paul mentions here, also very important, is that if we have faith but we don't have love, we're really nothing. He says, like a sounding gong or a clashing cymbal makes a whole lot of noise, but it doesn't really bear much fruit. And I think that's always a point that we need to remember, particularly here in St. Mary of Victories and the Oblates of Wisdom Priests, the group that I belong to. We place a strong emphasis on faith and being faithful to the authentic, true teachings of Jesus and the Church at a time when there's a great deal of confusion and false doctrines out there. That's very important. But we have to remember that if we're not careful, we can become kind of self-righteous. There's a danger that we think, you know, we're the real true Catholics and all those people out there, they're not as good as us. Have to be aware of that. And I think particularly among kind of traditional Catholics, this could be a real danger, being self-righteous, but maybe being very strong on that faith and very strict about it, but lacking somewhat in charity. I'll share with you something that happened just last week. A week ago, I got a letter from a lady I know in California, and she usually goes to the traditional Latin Mass, but this Sunday, she went to another a regular Mass like this in English. And she wrote to me saying that her daughter was at that Mass down near the back. It was a pretty full church. And she said that right near the end of Mass, a couple of ladies came in very late with a little girl. It wasn't right near the end, but it was after the homily. It was when the people were getting ready to come to communion. And the lady in her letter said to me, well, my daughter saw that these two ladies who came in pretty late. They'd just come in, and they were getting up and going to the aisle, ready to come to communion. And she corrected them, and she said to them, "You know, you're not supposed to go to communion unless you've been here for the whole Mass." And her daughter told her mother that. He said, "Well, they got kind of offended, and they walked out. They didn't go to communion." And the mother said to me in her letter, "Well, you know, Father, I think she did the right thing, didn't she, in telling them that?" And I had to write back and said, "Well, to be honest with you, I don't think she did do the right thing. That was out of place to make that comment to those people. Number one, I think your daughter was confusing two things. There's no law of the church that says if you come in late, you can't come to communion. But there is a law of the church saying if you come in very late, then that doesn't fulfill your obligation to attend Sunday Mass." Okay? You come in right near the end. That's not, you have to come at least, you know, before the homily is finished or the gospel, in order to fulfill your Sunday obligation. I think maybe your daughter was confusing those two things. But quite apart from that, I don't think it was called for her to make that comment. I think those two ladies who went out were probably rightly offended, because, and they may never come back to that church again. There's these self-righteous people in there, you know. We have to be very, very careful about that. Of course, there's another danger that we also have to avoid. That's the opposite extreme of not saying something to correct what's wrong when maybe we should say something. There's a duty called fraternal correction. Sometimes we do need to correct faults, particularly if we're in a responsible position. And there can be a temptation to kind of opt out and keep quiet because we know or we suspect the person's not going to react very favorably to that. It's the opposite extreme. Two extremes: talking when we, criticizing when we shouldn't criticize, and failing to correct someone when maybe we should. We need to pray to God for discernment about that. That second kind of correction, people talk quite a lot these days about tough love. You know, sometimes love doesn't mean just being nice to people. It may mean saying something or doing something which is for their benefit, but maybe they mightn't like it, at least not at first. We hear about that in the first reading and the gospel today. In the first reading, we heard how the prophet Jeremiah, he was called to exercise some of that tough love. God told him, "You've got to denounce the sins of the people of Israel. They're turning after false gods. They're turning away from me. Their leaders are becoming corrupt. You've got to denounce that stuff." And Jeremiah wasn't very keen to do that because he knew they were going to react strongly. And they did. They threw him in a big ditch and they almost left him to die there. And someone rescued him. But that was... tough love. He had to show something, speak very strongly. God told him to. Same thing we heard in the gospel there. The people in Jesus' own town, Nazareth, were hard-hearted, and because they thought this young guy, he's the carpenter's son. Who the heck does he think he is coming now and preaching like a big prophet or something? You know, they didn't accept him. Their hearts were hardened, and the Lord had to rebuke them strongly. Talking about how often in the past the people, God's own people, were stiff-necked and stubborn. And what happened? The people didn't like to hear that. We read there that they wanted to take him out the hill and they were furious. They wanted to throw him down the hill and get rid of him. The Lord managed to pass through their midst somehow. But yes, that's an example of tough love. Sometimes we have to speak out even though we may know that we're going to get a bad reception for what we say. So let's ask God for that discernment, to see what real love requires in each situation. On the one hand, we have to avoid being self-righteous, holier than thou, and criticizing people when really we should keep our mouth shut and just leave that to God. On the other extreme, when we don't speak out when we should, let's pray for the Lord to give us the guidance of the Holy Spirit in discerning how to practice this true love, this self-giving love, this patient love, but also courageous love that the Bible readings present to us today as the way God wants us to live. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.